In Simon Reish Mem Sif Sif Gimel. So we last week covered the halachos of Mora Aveim. Actually, this is a little bit more in that, and then we'll move on to what's called Kivud Aveim. So in the Torah, Sif Gimel says Vadhichan Moram. So how far does Mora Aveim go? So Afilu Hayalavish Bigdei Chamudus V'Yoshei Berosh Hakal. Even if you were wearing nice clothing and you were sitting ahead of everybody, Uva Aviv Oimo V'Karu Es Begada. They tear your clothing. V'Ko Al Roshu. They hit you on the head. V'Yarkovon. They spit at you. Lo Yachlim Osam El Yishtak. Right. Don't argue back. Don't fight back. Ella Yishtak. Rather be quiet. V'Yirami Melech Malchei Hamlachim Shetivah B'Kach. And you should fear the King of Kings who commanded you to do this. I mean, at that point, it's not just a rational thing, but it says that's the mitzvah. So the mitzvah is the mitzvah. That line, V'Yirami Melech Malchei Hamlachim, I don't believe is in the Gemara. I think that is added by the Rambam. The Rambam Hilchos Mamrim adds that in. So Shetivah B'Kach She'ilu Melech Basar Adam Gazar Alav Davar Shehu Mitzar. That if a human king would impose upon you something that causes pain, Yosem Yizel Lo Ya'alu L'Farchas, you wouldn't be able to complain. Alright, Kavachomer Lifnei Melech Malchei Hamlachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So how much more so in front of Hashem that you can't really complain. Okay, so that, we'll see that in Shulchan Aruch, but that's really a story. Fine. Sif Dalet. So Ve'ezu Kivud. So what is considered Kivud Aveim? So Machilu Mashkeu Vidnenu Lo B'Seir Panam Yachos. To feed and to give drink and to give things with a kind face. Val Yira Lo Panim Zoafos. And not to look sour faced. Shafilu Machilu B'chol Yom Petumos V'Heiru Lo Panim Zoomos Nenashlav. Even if you give him all day Petumos, so Petumos is considered like a really good food.
Some kind of delicacy.
By fattened cow. Right, Vaharalo Panzomos, but yet your eyes are saddened or you're not happy about it, so Nanashlo. So for that you get punished. So on that okay, so the Beis Yosef here comments, right, it's straight out of the Gemara, it says, Ezu Mor Beizu Kivud, okay? Then it says, Zaydiya Seir Panam Yafos, that Gemara happens to be by Kivud Aveim. That's a famous Gemara, it says, Sham Tani Avimi Bereid Rav Avehu, Yish Machil Aviv Pisione, Vitardo Mina Olam, that there are those who feed their parents Pisione, which is some kind of delicacy, and they get driven from the world. Perish Rashi, Vitardo Mina Olam, Shenen Nashallah, that you get punished, Shemar Lutzarus Ayin Al Sudas, so that you're looking saddened about this meal. And the Talmud Yerushalmi adds in Garcina, Maisa Bechach Hayamachel Aviv Bisumi Pamachas, Amrale Aviv Minayin Lecha, where do you get the Kolela, where do you get all this from? So Amrale, Sava Ma Ichbatlan, what do you care? Old man, Sava, right? Old man, why do you care? Right? Loos Echol, just chew it and eat it. Hareyu Shekashala, because caring for you is like not an easy thing to do. So that apparently is not the right answer, and you should have answer something else. Okay, so that's Sif Dal. While we're here, I guess we could do Sif Hey as well. So Vizeshamachilu Mashkeu. Now this is actually getting to a little bit more of a Shaila here. That is who pays. So this idea, Shemachilu Mashkeu, that you have to feed him and you give him drink, Zahainu Mishel Ha'av. So that actually gets covered by the dad. Dad and mom are responsible to cover their needs, Mishlo, if they have the money. So what if they don't? And the son is not Chayiv to pay for this. That stuff which they are required to survive on, so the son is not required to spend his money on that. Now, if the father doesn't have any money, and the son does have, so kofin oso vizanasav. So then they can force him in order to feed his father. Now, what is the nature of that forcing? So we learned last week, remember, that the Rama commented that we don't force people to do the mitzvah of kivud aveim. So most we've shown him, from what I could tell, understand this to be that we force him out of the mitzvah of tzedakah. Right, the mitzvah of that the father needs money, so therefore the son and the son has to give tzedakah, and if the son is giving tzedakah, so then the father comes first, right? Relatives come first, so therefore we're going to force the son to give the tzedakah to cough up the money in order to provide for the father. Fimashu Yachal, whatever he can. Now that itself is a little bit of a question, because we do have a limitation on tzedakah, how much a person is obligated to spend tzedakah. So that's a shayla about, does he have to go beyond that or not? Does he have to go beyond the 1/10 or 1/5 that we normally require for tzedakah in order to cover for his father? Yeah. Okay, so I think we'll see some on that. V'im ein leven, and if the son doesn't have, so eino chayev lachzor al pesachim lahachil lav. So he's not responsible to knock on doors for his father. I mean, who then is responsible to cover? So does the son maybe then have to go and beg on behalf of his father? So no, he doesn't have to. Aval chayev lachadav gufo. He would be obligated to do whatever he can with his body. Even though it's going to cost him time from work, v'itzdarach lachzor al pesachim, and it's going to cause him to have to go and knock on doors. he's responsible to do the whatever the time is necessary. So the Rama comments, no, dafka the isle leven mamuna leitz zunebe. That's only assuming that the son actually has food to eat. Meaning, yes, he might, if he has to then beg for money, fine, but he has to have a little bit of money. Meaning, if spending time with his father then requires him to require food stamps, so it sounds like that he would be required to do. But if it means that he's not even going to have money to eat, so. So then maybe he doesn't have to. So who yoma aval e leisle, but if low, but if he doesn't have money, have that low mechayel levatul and lachul lachshav zochman, then he'd have to lose his job in order to, or take time off from his work in order to go do that. And then dalad beis here for yishmashenu bishar dvarim shashamish mishamish behenes rabo, and he should also do the other things that a shamish does for their master. Okay, so how did they know this here? So you take a look at the Beis Yosef in the beginning of Hey. So the Beis Yosef comments from the Gemara. This question is asked in the Gemara in Kedushin. At the end of Amud Beis, that would be at the end of Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. Actually, it's really on the top of Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. Had the Tanya Kivin Machil Umashka Ibayluhu Mishal Mi. This idea that honor includes.
One second. Beis Yosef
Hey.
But
we have a dalit and a book.
You have a dalid and a vav.
So the hay before that.
No, the hay is before that. Yeah.
So that's I have.
You have a dalid base.
Yes.
To see it, go the other page.
Yes, on the previous page.
Previous page. Yeah.
Oh, the per kama. Oh, ahad the tanya.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. So per kama the kedushin ahad the tanya kivin machil umashkes uboilu mishalmi. So we have this idea that we give food and we give drink, and they ask mishalmi who pays for that. So Yehuda Amar Mishal Ben Rav Nasan Bar Oshi Amar Mishal Af. So it's machlokas. Tanaim who pays. So Arule Rabbanon, Rav Yirmiyah, and Arule Librei, Librei de Rav Yirmiyah. And they said to the son of Rav Yirmiyah, command Amr Mishalav, who we paskin like that it's the father's responsibility, and the Rif and the Rush and Tosos all paskin command Amr Mishalav. The Chasv, when they add in, Shekin Psak Bashiltos, Vachim Psak Chasv Arambam, fine. Venira, the time of Mishim Dahavi Rav Yehuda Yachid, the Gabi Rav Nasan, Verabbanon, the Oru Kavase, right, that the Rabbanon paskin like Rav Nasan, and therefore we paskin like him. That's how we pass it. Fine, but then Mashkazvim Ein La'av Yishd Ben Kofenuso Vizon Es Aviv Kifi Mashu Yachol. So Kain Pasku Sham Harif Arash Vatosos Because you came Sak Vishiltos Venira. So then Reis Yosef adds in this idea Sheafal Pi Sheishlo, even if he has money, Eino Chayv L'Safek Kol Mizonos Hatzrichim Lavi. He doesn't have to do everything that is responsible that has been needed for the father. El Kofen Litein Lo Kafi Mashu Chayv L'Asei Slitztaka Lafi Mamu Sheishlo. Rather, he's only responsible to give up that which he would be obligated to pay of tztaka, implying that what? Implying that this is a tzedaka obligation. And he claims that that's what the Rif and Rush hold as well. So that at least is what the Shulchan Aruch is going to hold, that he's responsible to pay the tzedakah obligation, but not necessarily more. That's really the source of this payment. Fine.
Sorry, I'll be back in a minute.
Fine. Okay, so with that, I think maybe head to the Shulchan Aruch. So the Shulchan Aruch itself, Simon Reish Mem Sif Gimel. So yeah. So there is one thing that's added in Sif Gimel, that was with the at Heichan Moram. How far does this Mora have to go? So it gives his quotes here. Yeah, Ben Lavish Shem Chamidos V'Yishev Rosh Akal V'Ubo Avi V'Imo V'Karo V'Gadlo V'Ikeo Al Rosh. He was sitting with his head, and his parents come and they rip his clothing and they spit in front of him. So he shouldn't do anything. Rather, he should be quiet because that's what Kodesh Baruch Hu commanded, that you should be quiet in the face of such embarrassment. So the Shach adds in here V'Karo V'Gadlo V'Tear his garments. So it says the Shach, or me Mutul Tavu B'Din. You can take your parents to Beis Din though to pay for it, right? you don't have to just accept the actual damage. The damage would be something that you'd be able to take them to a Din Torah over. All right. Anyways, so then we head to Sif Dalet. So Izuhu Kavod. So what is considered kivud avim? So machilu mashkiu malbushu machzu machlasu motzi. That we give him food, we give him drink, we give him clothing, we cover him, we bring him back and forth. The nenu lo b'sever panim yafos, and we greet him with a nice face. Shafil ma'achil b'chol yom petumos very low pams o'afos nenashalah. That if you feed him good food, but you give him a sour face, so that is something that one would get punished on. Okay, so that we read so far. So then comes the Ramban, adds in l'chein l'hafach that imatkin aviv b'reichayim u'kavanasa l'tova. That if you you have him working in the mill, it sounds like.
Yeah.
But it's for his good. Because natzel aviv midavar kashas, yosem yizeh, so he won't have to do anything worse. Umidaber piusim alev, and you give him alev aviv, and you speak to him nicely. Umar lo shekavana solotova, and you tell him that, you know, this is really for your good. Achi yisratz aviv lidchon berichayim nocha olam hava. So that, so long as you appease your father to be working in the mill, so noch olam haba, you'll inherit olam haba. V'yishberenu b'shar dvarim shashamish shamish rabba, and you'll do the other things which a shamish does for his master. Right. So there is actually just on that last line there, the Piskei Tshuva adds in here, Piskei Tshuvos I should say, adds in that this idea that you have to do everything, you know, do everything that a shamish would do for their master. So he adds in that but if the son is an adam mechubad, va'am mevakish v'menu shi'asa is a davar sheish bo b'zayim. Not the piskech in the here. Let's see, pisakim u'tshuvos.
Not the one that we.
Actually, that's probably why he called it this, so you don't get confused with the piskech tshuva. That's probably what. Pisakim u'tshuvos. So the pisakim u'tshuvos, he adds in that but if the son is considered honorable, va'am mevakish v'menu shi'asa is a davar sheish bo b'zayim, but he wants him to do something which would be beneath his dignity, so to speak. So kasav rishum she'ina ben mechuyav la'asoskin. So that he's not obligated to do. Ki gam b'chibur av amru shezakim einu l'fi chvodu patrus. That we do assume that that's the case there. Now, apparently we don't assume that it's by mora aveim, right? By mora aveim, in terms of giving musr, so that we learned in the last sif, that you have to put up with everything, whatever the parents do. But in terms of they ask you to do something specifically for them, so apparently there is an exemption for a zakein ve'inu lefichvado pater. Now, you hear all these stories of gedolim who did all these things for their parents, etc., which doesn't sound like it's lefichvado, so now you should probably be careful when they use this.
So I'm not sure I lost the last point there. What about?
There is a concept that there are certain mitzvos that is referred to in the Gemara as a zakein ve'inu lefichvado, that an elderly person, and it's beneath his dignity to do that. For instance, the classic example that's brought in the Gemara is by a Shavas Aveda, right? So if somebody sees the Gemara's example, you see a pair of women's clothing or women's underwear in the middle of the street, so you don't expect the old Rosh Hashiva to go and pick it up and start knocking on doors finding out who this belongs to. That would be considered beneath his dignity. So apparently, so that exemption, that class, would then apply to Kivud Avim as well. So is to so that's one. But he adds in here, but if the father has no other way of getting whatever it is that he needs to get, so then it would be incumbent upon the son to go ahead and take care of that.
So if it's beneath the son's dignity to do so.
would be beneath the sun. So you do something, so then there would be an exemption based on this. So it's a little different. So he comments this on this last line of the Ramah, where the Ramah says, "You should be shard dvar, masham shamish, shamish rabbi." You have to do all the other things that a shamish would do for their master. So right. So I have visions of that Seinfeld episode when Elaine had to buy Mr. Pitt socks. I don't know if anybody's familiar with the socks episode. No. No Seinfeld watchers. Okay, so
I watched the reruns.
Right. Yeah. So the reruns actually are very similar to the originals.
I haven't seen them all. We haven't seen them all.
So there is an episode where Mr. Pitt makes Elaine run all over town buying him socks, and she can't go away because Mr. Pitt says, "I thought I'd have my socks today." So a son is entitled to make some type of argument against the parents, but again, if he wants, if it would be somehow beneath their dignity, again, how to judge that is somewhat, one has to judge that fairly somehow, but again, if the parent would have no other way of doing it, so then it would actually be incumbent upon the child to go ahead and get those things. There are a couple of other comments here that he comments over the course of this sif. One of them is actually really just going to Shulchan. We talked about this last week in Shul, that we have the famous Gemara about not waking the person up, that which was actually in the Daf Yomi, maybe according to the regular schedule today, for us we're a little bit ahead. So we were in last week's story of Dov Ben Nesina, that he wouldn't wake up his father. So the Gemara, actually, the Sefer Hasidim quotes that Gemara and adds in, it says that's if the father wouldn't want to be woken up. But if the father would want to be woken up in order to cut that deal, so then you should go ahead and do that. And the Aruch HaShulchan adds in, V'nira should didafka k'shiyav rizman tefila v'yishudakta v'vatay nira lehed right, that similarly, if the Sosman Tefillah is coming or Minyan is coming and the father wants to be woken up, so then you would go ahead and wake him up. That's what the father wants. Apparently, he somehow knew, Dom Benesina somehow knew in that Gemara, that his father wouldn't even want to be woken up, even though someone had come to buy these magnificent gems off of him. So that's one comment that the Sefer Hasidim says. And then he adds in, Od Kasav Shamdim HaBen Yodeya Sha'ave V'imo Mitztaru Amashu Misane Lo Yisane B'tane. Right. That if the father was sick from a specific illness, and the doctor said that he can't have a specific food, or he can't drink a specific drink, so then the father asked the son, can you get me some of that? So lo yitain lo. That's a typo there. But you should... It's a lo. Yeah, right. Yitain lo. Ze ein... Ain lo litain lo. Oh, maybe that's right. Ain lo. It's not for him to give to him. That filu omer lo. Even if he says lo emchol, I'm not mochel. I want you to give it to me. In lo titain li lo yashkiach bo. You shouldn't give it to him. Kiven harufim. He's hiru bazeh yishar lito. But the doctors gave a specific command on it, so you're not allowed to. You can't follow. You can't follow it. So that's one halacha that he gives. So that's discussed. He mentions this over here. He does quote from Rav El Yashav, however, that if it's something that is a general thing, that's only if the doctor specifically prohibited it. If it was only something in general, that the son wants it for the parent's health, so then this heter doesn't apply. So the example he gives here is could go in Ishan Cigarios, smoking cigarettes. So the father asks for cigarettes, and there's no specific order from the doctor to stop doing it, so therefore you should go ahead and do it. I'm somewhat right. So I'm wondering if this is a little outdated or not. One could... whatever. Perhaps it's a little outdated, especially even according to Rabbi Yashav, I believe, is there is stuff that came from him saying that smoking is totally usher, etc., and shouldn't be done under any circumstance, and all those kinds of things. So, but the distinction is the doctor explicitly prohibits something, so then it's usher to take, as opposed to if it's something that you know is unhealthy. So the father wants another piece of chocolate cake. The father wants another... you know, something else that might be considered unhealthy. So, okay, but you would go ahead and do that for him, even if you might consider it unhealthy. But if it's something that specifically the doctor told him not to do, so then there's an isser in him having it. That's how he defines it. So then it's prohibited. So that's like the father asking you to do something that's usser. The father's asking you to do something that's usser, so then you don't have to go ahead and do it. You don't have to go ahead and violate something that's usser. He actually gives one more comment here in the Aruch HaShulchan that I noticed. He says, also, if the father asks you for information about something, and you don't want, and you know that if the father knew the truth, it would be he'd get angry about it. Don't tell him. Lo yagid lo mashit safsa umutter l'shanas v'fnei yashan. Don't tell him what he told you to tell you, and you can lie about it. Right, that's an example of l'shanas v'fnei yashan. That's an example of lying for the sake of peace. So this brought to mind, I just tracked down the story today. Did you hear the story of the Lubavitcher Rebbe? The Lubavitcher Rebbe's brother passed away, and he didn't tell his mother for 12 years. For 12 years, he was concerned that he got word that his brother died, and his mother was living in Crown Heights, and he would visit his mother every day. And even during, and he said, if my mother finds out, she's not going to do well. Apparently, the Rebbe had another brother who was killed in the war, so that would mean that that would be the second son that she lost. And he said it's going to damage her. So he continued his routine. Even during Shiva, he went to visit her. He had his canvas shoes painted black. I'm not sure why he didn't just get black canvas shoes, but he had his canvas shoes painted black, and he gave orders to all the people that sent their letters and all the people that communicated with her, don't say anything about her son. And he maintained this facade. He maintained, like, people, he had people give her messages about the brother, and he kind of gave her other information over the years about the brother, and it's unclear whether she ever actually found out, but it's one of these just wild stories. Rabbi Telushkin, in the biography where I saw the story, he comments that this is something none of the Hasidim ever tried to replicate. It's not a custom or anything in Chabad to not tell parents about their children's, but that's some unique Lubavitcher Rebbe story that is out there.
Well, sometimes it happens that you want, let's say, your kid to wake you up for a certain time. There's no problem with that.
So right.
So you used to worry about that way.
It's a covered. It's a covered for them to do it. And it's something that they should go ahead and do.
We had a problem in terms of my mother's driving.
Uh-huh.
And it was felt that it was unfortunately dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Because she had a couple of incidents. And we had to come up with something which was a fabrication in order to prevent her from continuing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we did. You know, we may have an insurance thing.
Right.
And
here? Right, that's what it seems to be talking about here. Okay, so anyways, okay, so Sif Hey, then this is
89. I think she was 89 at the time.
When you took away the keys.
I think so. Yeah, I think she was 89.
Yeah. How long were you behind? I think it'll be self-driving cars.
Yeah, that's rough. Taking away,
away the key things. No, it's very bad because you take away this person's independence. It's
right.
Awful. It's
right.
Awful. Well, it's so unfortunately, she had a couple of incidents. And
yeah. All right, so Sif Hei gets into one of these somewhat complicated matters. You can see this really, and it also, it's not just an issue between father and son. This is the issue of whether, who pays. So besides the issue of father and son, there's also the issue of which child pays, especially when there are different children with different amounts of income. So that's all kind of finds its source over here. So in Sif Hei it says, Zeshe ma'chilo u'mashkeu mishal avi mishal eim. Av eim. Somebody who is going to give his parents, give... Zeshe ma'chilo u'mashkeu mishal avi eim. If they have the money, so you're going to be spending the parents' money in order to give them these things. But if the father doesn't have and the son does have, so you force him to pay whatever he can do. But if the son doesn't have, so he's not prechuyev to go and start knocking on doors in order to make sure that the father has stuff. So just the comes the shach here and comments who adin the ain tzarich lechavdo mishalo, that the kavod doesn't have to come from him. V'yitzdarich shehu lachs or al psachim, and who adin the ain tzarich lechavdo mishalo, v'yitzdarich who lachs or al psachim, the kamosha kasva harash. V'chein, where are we here? V'chein kasva bach. Okay, so that wasn't... was looking for. Yisvav is the one I was looking for. Okay, so hold off on the shach. So then, but the Piskei Tshuva here comments with Zon Aviv. So I am Tshuva's Red Baz. See Piskei Tshuva Dalet here. This is the one on the page. So I am Tshuva Sarad Baz. Yesh lo leben. If the son has money, kmo shechayev lezono, chayev lifroa lav es hamas hamutel al rosh. Not only would he be mechuyev to feed him, he'd also be mechuyev to pay his
head tax,
whatever it is. So whatever the father needs, so if the son has money, he would be obligated to pay it. But again, as we pointed out, it probably means that it's coming out of his tzedaka account, or his tzedaka allocation.
It's sort of a close between the mechaber and the Ramah, but maybe not.
Right, so that's a question. So the Ramah held that it was machlokas. So if you take a look at the Ramah continues on and says, "V'yishum de'inu chayiv l'itin l'rak mashim mechuyiv l'itin l'stacha." That he's not, and there are some that say that he's only mechuyiv that which he is mechuyiv to give based on stacha. So that's where the shach. So the shach comments, "V'veis Yosef kasuv." So what does that sound like? It sounds like as Sheldon picked up on. That sounds like the Ramah is arguing on the mechaber. I mean, the mechaber says that the son has money, the son has to pay, and the Ramah says, "V'yishomrim," that he only has to pay up to the stacha amount. So the Shach says, yeah, that's what the Mechaber holds also. If you look in the Beis Yosef, the Haki Daik Lishnada Ram Vatur, Shehukalashna Mechaber, Flizel, Lo Havi Leilamemar Belashim, Vyeshomer. Therefore, he really shouldn't have said the language of Yeshomer. About Rav Latame Azil, Shekasu Bedarke Moshe, Belashim, Eina Ben Chayv Leisho. But he is following his own Shita in that, that's what he writes in the Darke Moshe as well. Meaning he claimed in the Darke Moshe also that this is a Machlokes. But the Shach seems to be saying that it's not really a Machlokes. And as he gets towards the end of the shach, he comments that we force him, that's how we're forcing him. We're forcing him based on the din of kfiya b'tzaka. That is the source of the kfiya that we're able to do.
They're both saying the same thing.
Yes. Okay. Right. So,
So
continues the Ramah, back in the Ramah. However, he says, if you have the money, a curse will come. That's what it sounds like, some kind of curse, or we say bad things about you. If you're just going to use, I shouldn't add in the word just. If you use the tzedakah money, so that looks bad. That's some kind of curse. Where does that come from? So the Gemara actually discusses somebody uses their meiser ani, because somebody gives their meiser ani to the parents. So the Gemara doesn't like that very much. That doesn't seem appropriate. So that's what the Ramah seems to be discussing here, that to use money that anyway is separated for tzedakah and say, now I'm going to use it for dad. So it sounds like technically that works, and we would force you to death with the mechanism we use to force it, but it's not really appropriate for it to be done that way. If there's many children, so we go according to how much money they have. If some are rich and some are poor, we make the rich ones pay. So that's a good this comes up. This comes up. This Ramah here. So that's the starting point in terms of just money being paid. But there's other things that go into Kivud Avim than just simply the money that's being paid. So let's just finish the Mechaber. He says, "Chayev l'chavdo begufo, afal pisha mitoch kach batal mimalachta." That what you're a chayev to honor them begufo, even though with your own body, afal pisha mitoch kach batal mimalachta. Even though it's going to force you to lose work, v'itzarek l'asra al-psachim, it's going to make you knock on doors, v'dafka d'ispan mizonos li'itzune, how yomet, provide that you have money for that day at least to eat. You don't have money for that day, then that's considered an emergency, perhaps even some kind of sakana, and therefore you wouldn't be required to go knock on doors in order to get money, in order to get money for the parents on that particular day.
Unless that day is a fast day.
What?
Unless that day is a fast day.
Unless that day is a fast day. Well, okay, it's a level of importance. Again, this isn't knocking on doors for the parent. This is taking care of the parents, taking the time out to take care of the parents' needs, which will make it difficult for you to work. Correct. So there is...
in there.
Yeah. Right, so here's where he quotes that last one. So there is a... A tshuva here. I should have made copies of it. But there is a tshuva that Rav Shurmbach has regarding the issue of She'ila Aviv Zakin Mechuyiv Lachnisu Leviso. That now that the father is getting older, are we Mechuyiv to bring him into the house? Are we Mechuyiv, are we obligated to have him stay in the house? Or should we be sending him to some kind of home? So he comments here. So Rav Shurmbach points out that there are some oddities. There's two oddities, one kind of the chumra and one lekula, when it comes to the mitzvah of kivud aveim. So he says, mitzvah kivud aveim shown to be called mitzvah. So mitzvah echad, on one hand, einu mechuyiv lehotzi mamun al mitzvah zos. That miyikra din, there's no obligation to spend any money. The chayim lekivud aveim yishla avelo mishol bein. Mashayin ki bechol mitzvahs, other mitzvahs, chayiv al chomish memono. You're obligated to spend up to a fifth of your money. So by kivud aveim, that rule is not applicable. Right? That's it. We either case. On the other hand, mitzvahs asid the kivud av chaver mikol mitzvahs shehishva kavodim lechavod lamakom. That we make an equivalent his kavod to the kavod lamakom. And which has its own chumras. That means you have to do whatever you can for them. Otsarbi and Maishna kol mitzvahs the kaimulan should be zayon gadol pater. That if it's a big bizayon, you're going to be pater. The gadol kavod rias docha mitzvahs ase b'shevi al tase. But dono achrom should be tsar gadol dumi the bizayon gam kein pater miki mitzvahs ase. You'd be theory be exempt from mitzvahs ase if it caused you a lot of pain, etc. But that doesn't seem to work when it comes to kivud aveim. So he then explains the case here. So the ilu b'mitzvahs kivud av hachiyuv af b'tzar u'bizayon gadol, that even though the mitzvahs kivud avein, you're then obligated, even though it's going to cause you a lot of pain, shim aviv mivazehu b'dvar b'fnei rabim asur l'hashivo, that if the father is going to embarrass you in public, you can't respond to him. And in this case, toin haben, the son claims, shim aviv yagur imov, that if the father lives with him, yehelo tzar gadol, that's going to cause tzar. She's dakik l'tafel bo kolzma, he's going to have to spend all his time working, helping out his dad. By the king, he's tzarech lehinazir legamrei milasameach ishtu uvanav. He's then going to be able. He's not going to be able to spend any time with his wife and son. Kivin sheyiv lekol zmanim aviv. All the time is going to be used with his father. Uldvarav zeu tzar kavli. He says it's a big tzar ma'od u'memoshich b'shvilo sheyafriel lo bevayis ma'od harbe yosim yichomish mamano. And that is going to require spending more than one fifth of his money. That's really going to be very difficult for him. So he comments. So the Rav Shurmbach explains, says, well, the equation is not right. Right? What's he saying his mitzvah kivud aveim is? My mitzvah kivud aveim is, am I going to have my father here or not? Right? That's what his shaila is. So Rav Shurmbach says, that would make sense if it's a one-time deal. Right? That, are you going to get the mitzvah of kivud aveim or not? But we're not talking about here about a one-time mitzvah. Right? It means you're going to see him hundreds of times. Hundreds of mitzvahs that you're going to get for it. So to say, well, you have to spend up to a fifth of your money for a mitzvah. Well, this is hundreds of mitzvahs. So that's why the equation of one-fifth doesn't really fit within the mitzvah of tefillin. And that's why you can't push it off like one would other mitzvahs. He says, however, miu imuchrach lishloach oso l'moshev zakenim. However, let's say you do decide that you're going to send them to an old age home, a nursing home, sheyitaflu bohar yafe, that they'll take care of him very well. So near the chayev l'shayim micheshbono k'she'in la'av. So then who pays? So what did we just say the halacha is? The halacha should be that the father is going to pay. So he suggests, no, if the son says, listen, I can't handle you, Dad, I'm going to send you to a nursing home, so the son has to pay.
Doesn't he say,
Shein,
Ein, Lav? Did you just read that?
Right. So what is the halacha then? Near the chayv l'shayim l'cheshbonu k'she'in la'av, ve'enu yachul linkos min dmei atzaka shlo, and he can't use the tzaka money.
But if the father has.
Right, the father has, he can. Now, I'm not sure why he says that, but yeah. According to what his svar is, perhaps even more. We'll see what his svar is. But Tamadava, the reason is, I heard from the Briskerov, that when we say that the father has to pay, so that's only when it's something that is not a chiv of guf on the son. What does the father have to pay for? The father has to pay for his food, he has to pay for his drink, he has to pay for his stuff. But the father isn't responsible to take care of himself. That's the son's chiyuv. So if you're going to send him to a nursing home, so that care that the father is getting is not what he's responsible to give himself. That's really what you're responsible to be giving him. And that's why you'd have to pay. Right? If you have a chiyuv to pay from yourself, and you're only paying in order to exempt yourself from doing the things that you're obligated in, so then guess what? You would need to pay. Now you're right. He only says that when he says kishayin, when the father doesn't have the money for it. And so it could be. But Shein Mishalim, let's just finish what he writes, and then we'll say Shein Mishalim Avar Aviv Ela Avar Asmali Pater Michobos. You're not paying for him; you're paying for yourself. Akor Chayiv Medina Bischar Kivet Shein Mishfil Aviv Ela Kadei Liftor Gufo V'Lachein Kach Chayiv Medina Lahach Nisul Levesus. Here, because you're obligated to take him into the house, and you're just trying to exempt yourself from the mitzvahs that you otherwise would need to do, so then you would have to pay. Kivet Sheish Laviv Sharos Liyos Mikaspa Moshe's Kainim Nirish. Oh, but he says Elam King Ish Laviv Kesef. But the father does have the money. Shaz Mikar. Which is, you don't have the chiyuv. That's what I was going to say. Okay. Kevin, because the father has the possibility to pay for it himself, so then the father would have to pay. So as if the father has the money, so then the father really should be taking care of his daily regular needs. That's right. So the whole chiyuv of kivin aveim is when the father doesn't have the money. So if the father doesn't have the money, he'd come to your house. The father, the problem is you don't want him in your house. You don't want to spend all the money. So then putting him in the home is getting you off the hook, rather getting him off the hook, and therefore you'd have to pay. But if the father has the money, it sounds like what Rav Shurmuth is saying, he shouldn't be coming into your house in the first place, right? He should be taking care of the things that he should be taking care of, in which case he wouldn't have to pay. And he concludes here the famous story with the Jew in Brisk, that he asked Rav Chaim if he's obligated to spend money in order to visit his father in Warsaw. Because, what do you mean? It's the father should have to pay the train. So, well, you'd have to walk otherwise. If you don't want to walk, so then go ahead and pay. Right? But the responsibility is not to, your father doesn't have to pay for your responsibility. Your responsibility is to visit your father every once in a while. So that's not his need, that's your need. So if you say, well, for me to visit him, he's going to need to shell out the money. No, the money is only being spent because it's a convenience for you. So because it's a convenience for you, so therefore you're going to be the one that's going to have to spend the money. So that's the main chiluk. These questions don't really come up lemaisa very often because, Baruch Hashem, we live in a society where people have money for these things and they seem to be worked out. But it's a very important yesod in Hilchos Kivud Aveim, this distinction, right? The distinction of the father's responsibility to cover their needs as opposed to the son's responsibility to do the care. So the monetary responsibility is going to, who's responsible for the money is going to be reflective of, okay, what exactly is that care that is taking place? So that, I think, is important just principle to keep in mind as we go forth through our studies here.
What if the father needs more care than you can really give at home? So now it would seem to me...
Right, so if it's really impossible for the son, then it would flip back to the father. That's what it would sound like.
Money, you know, you could stop.
Right, so that's where this shuv is a little difficult because, well, the son is saying, I can't do it. So why can't you do it? You can't do it... Well, what is it that he couldn't do? Right? He couldn't maintain his sanity? That part is ambiguous from the Jew. But right, it sounds like once the father really needs real nursing, so then that would flip back to being his responsibility rather than the child's.
Very expensive.
Yes.
Very expensive.